Blog Talk Radio.
Because I have a sinus headache, so I'm not in the mood for your foolishness today. Don't even
start.
Are you
telling me this for a specific reason? As if in I'm supposed to
shoot you in the eye. That's the reason I'm telling you.
I mean, do I need this for a character reference for you? Because, you know, you've been doing drugs.
See, look, I told you. You know what we forgot to do? We forgot to mention that we lost Sherman Hemsley.
Yeah, we did forget to mention Sherman Hemsley. And I feel bad about that because any child of the 70s, which you claim not to be.
I'm 25, y'all. But you know what? I mean, just the people have been dropping like flies.
2012, a lot of people have left us.
You know what? I blame global warming.
Well, we know global warming killed Michael Jackson, but that was 2010.
I mean, Donna Summer.
Name them.
A bunch of old white folks done died. You know what? No, I blame George Bush. I take it back.
W or Herbert Walker?
W.
I can get behind that.
Between him and Cheney, I blame them for everything.
But then if anybody's going to be dying, it would have to be Dick Cheney.
Lord Jesus.
Because we know he's the high executioner of executing people on high.
Right, right. What's the character in Star Wars? The Emperor? He's the Emperor.
Yes, he is. He is. He definitely is.
What you got on tap for us today, Yael Theodore?
Okay, well, you know, as a public service announcement to all of our listeners and people across the country.
See? The minute you said that, okay, go ahead. What's the public service announcement? Go right ahead.
It's not so much an announcement, but as an ongoing public service. This is now a new segment of the show, which we will always have to do from now until November.
I'm not familiar precisely with exactly what I said, but I stand by what I said, whatever it was. And with regards to, I'll go back and take a look at what was said there.
He has been showing his ass across the line. So wait a minute. Here's what I need to know, because you're so much older than me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall a candidate going overseas and putting on a show. I really, really don't. Am I missing something?
Yes, because I'm going to have to go back well before you were old enough to vote, back to 2008, when Barry Obama went over to Germany and drew thousands upon thousands of people to hear him speak as a candidate for the presidency, which drew the ire of John McCain.
But was he over there speaking policy? I really don't remember.
He was over there offering hope to the world. And John McCain said, we don't need a celebrity. We need...
Okay, yeah, it's coming back to me, but I just don't recall.
Now, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute.
Ahead.
After Barack Obama did this to rave reviews in the international community, international press corps, media outlets around the world, and John McCain promptly foo-fooed the whole thing and promptly spat on his parade, he went out and picked Sarah Palin to be his running mate because she was drawing large crowds and brought a lot of people to his candidacy. She became the celebrity vice presidential candidate. Now, do we need to look at that picture again and ask again? The hypocrisy of the Republican Party is on stage one with this mess again.
Well, see, I mean, I see what Romney is doing as more than, you know, a speech. He is over there holding court and talking out the side of his neck and acting like he is the de facto president of the United States. And not only is he holding court, he's getting everything wrong. I mean, we talked about, you know, the London gaffes, and now he's over in Israel pissing off the Palestinians.
No, he's finished pissing off the Palestinians in Israel. He's over there in Poland now, pissing off the rest of the European Union.
The European bloc?
Right, the Warsaw Pact.
What did he say about the Polish?
Well, it's not so much what he said about the Polish as what he said while, actually, and I have to, let me make sure I get this right. Romney didn't say it, but as Romney and his wife, as Mittens and his wife were finished standing, looking solemnly at the memorial to the unknown soldier at in Poland.
Right.
And probably...
Isn't that called the Wailing Wall?
No, no, Wailing Wall is in Israel.
Okay. Oops. Go ahead.
Jerusalem, actually. Jerusalem. Romney, you know, while they were standing there in solemn silence, probably baptizing this unknown soldier as a Mormon, because you know they do that. The Mormons do that. They rebaptize dead people.
Lord.
Yes. As he was finishing that and getting into his car, reporters were calling out questions for Romney, and one of his campaign staffers yelled to the reporter, "Kiss my ass! Can't you see we're in a holy place for the Polish people?"
Did he really say, "Kiss my ass, we're in a holy place for the Polish people"?
Yes.
Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, on the main line, tell them what you want.
Don't be cursing. Don't be asking questions of an unprepared candidate. Kiss my ass. This man.
He went to my school of Candidacy 101. Now he went to Whitney Houston. Kiss my ass. Wow. You have to be kidding me. I can't believe that. There's just no way. There's no way. You have to be lying to me.
You can look it up. You can look it up. You know, I very rarely lie to you.
They're not ready for prime time. They really aren't.
Well, they are ready for prime time if prime time is the Muppet Show. Because this is about...
hey, now. Wait a minute. That's an insult to Muppets worldwide.
And I love me some Muppets. Muppet love, y'all. Muppet love. Muppet love, y'all. Muppet love. And yeah, I'm not trying. Yes, I have ticked off several segments of the American society over the length of this show. But I have to refuse and draw the line. I will not upset Muppets.
You know, that's what I'm talking about. Bjork, Bjork, Bjork.
You know, people say when I laugh, I look like Dr. Teeth of the Electric Mayhem.
That's not all they say.
That's the nice things that they say.
That we can repeat.
Yeah, the people of your ilk like to say. But yes, that was today's gaffe. And to reiterate,
isn't it like a gaffe a day at this point?
Well, yeah, I think they're trying to set a record.
That's crazy.
And speaking of records, let's talk about the Chinese swimmer who outswam, swordfish and claimed not to be on any performance-enhancing drugs.
Right. Outswam a dolphin. Dolphins were like, damn, how he go so fast?
Now, we all know that the Chinese government is strict on drug testing and the safety of their athletes and not allowing any kind of PEDs in their systems. Now, what they haven't said is the woman, the 16-year-old swimmer, is really 32.
Right. Just like that 14-year-old gymnast was really 75, but okay.
No. She was a 14-year-old gymnast that was born 8 years prior.
See, now,
this
the
is,
black girl, what was her name? The one that they had to test to make sure she was actually a chick?
Oh, you know, I discussed this last night with a friend of mine. I had forgotten all about him, her.
Right. Not the one who found out that she was a hermaphrodite. Not that one.
Not that
one? The one that was all woman, and they still made her... They still tested her to make sure she wasn't a dude. How come they ain't doing that with the Chinese people? How come they're not putting them under that kind of scrutiny?
Well, let me just say this.
If you're a black woman and run really fast, they got to test you for testicles.
Well, again, as I said last night in a conversation with a friend of mine.
You have friends?
You go to test a female athlete to see if she's on any drugs or if, you know, everything is right. When she stands up to give you a urine sample, I think at that point we can pretty much call it a done.
Call it good? call the question answered?
Yes. When they write their name in the snow to answer the questionnaire, I think you know at this point where this is going to go. And I feel sorry. I did feel sorry for the ugly little girl who found out she was born a boy, track star. And I can't remember her name.
But she wasn't born a boy. She was born a hermaphrodite. There is a difference.
And someone made the decision that we're going to make her a woman because this way she'll never get pregnant. Because she's too god-awful ugly to be a female.
Okay, see, you know what? I'm not going
I know, I'm ugly people. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've upset the
yeah,
ugly
with
people.
You. So what is the fallout from homegirl who was passing up dolphins in the pool?
Well, so far they said they haven't gotten the test results back for PEDs. However, her gill slits look a little questionable. I'm just saying. Maybe there was some DNA splitting with...
Right. Her web toes seem to be an indication.
But other than that, she's fine.
You know, I've been on a media blackout because of the time delay on seeing stuff, and I've just been DVRing it, and... annoyed that my MSNBC has been interrupted. I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's not even been interrupted with, like, the good sports. I can't even pick up a bag of dogs, let alone what these women are lifting. But nonetheless.
But that's the purpose of the MSNBC and the CNBC and the other stations in the NBC network. So the people who watch the obscure sports like myself can get to see them at 4 o'clock in the morning when I should be sleeping, but I can't sleep these days.
Well, no, it's not even 4 o'clock in the morning. It's like 9 o'clock in the morning or 10 or 11 when I'm trying to watch Tamron Hall. I'm not feeling that.
I'm sorry,
you know,
but
that said,
some of us,
hasn't it felt a little lax to you? I mean, I really haven't gotten off my couch screaming except for a couple swimming heats. And the beach volleyball. Beach volleyball was a nail-biter. And tennis was a nail-biter for a second. But, you know, the Williams girls was going to pull that out. Other than that, I've just been like, oh, all right, whatever.
I don't want tennis to be an Olympic sport. I'm not happy with beach volleyball being an Olympic sport.
I love beach volleyball. I used to play beach volleyball when I didn't have this big old butt. I'm mad that they took softball and baseball out.
I'm here to tell you I'm really tired of American sports that drunk white America does when they're at the beach or sitting in their
living room. I'm neither white nor was I drunk, and I had fun playing beach volleyball. Next. So what do we put in there?
Log throwing from Russia?
What do we do? What are we going to replace it with?
These sports that white America has created that they do in their leisure time should not be Olympic sports. Next thing you know, it's going to be frisbee golf.
You still
poker.
Haven't given me an alternative. What would you put in its place?
In place of beach volleyball?
Yeah, and you are just being a hater because you can't play it.
Well, I'm a volleyball fanatic. Let me tell you something. This 5'6" body can spike. I love volleyball. I don't like beach volleyball, but I like team.
Why don't you like beach volleyball? Beach volleyball is fun.
Beach volleyball as an Olympic sport is just an excuse for people to wear very skimpy, inappropriate clothing and jump around in the sand.
Okay, you know what? You are talking a lot of noise. Again, what are you going to replace it with?
Popular in America if it wasn't for Top Gun back in the 80s.
Shut it. What are you going to replace it with?
I'm going for
And you specifically said American sport. So which foreign sport are you going to replace it with?
Which what sport?
Which foreign sport are you going to replace it with? You said you're tired of these sports that white Americans do when they get drunk, make it into the Olympics. So what are you going to replace it with? What foreign activity are you going to replace it with?
Well, I would like to see the running of the bulls as an Olympic sport. A bunch of drunk white people.
Okay,
on a boat.
So you're an idiot. There's no other way to put it. You're just an idiot.
Bulls have them run down the street, and the one that makes it gets the gold medal.
Okay, so you want to replace an event that drunk white Americans do with one that drunk Spaniards do.
Drunk Americans in Spain. So yeah, so it would be an international thing.
Next.
Dart catching.
Okay, so you want to replace it with something that drunk English pub goers do?
Yes. The Olympics should not be all about American created sports. You know they're talking about football.
It's not.
They're talking about football, NFL football. Becoming an Olympic sport. I got to draw the line.
Oh, well, I would have to draw the line there, too, but that has not happened.
But it's up for discussion.
So of all the sports that I can think of, beach volleyball is clearly an American sport. But basketball has been adopted worldwide, has it not? Cycling worldwide, swimming worldwide. Beach volleyball is the only one that I can think of that is born and bred in America and mostly an American sport. And
even as
the Australian women almost whipped the ass of the American women.
True, because here's if we want to get down this line, the American sports that have become Olympic sports are volleyball. Beach and regular and team volleyball, baseball, which is no longer an Olympic sport, as you mentioned, is no longer an Olympic sport.
Or softball, which breaks my heart.
Softball. They were all just in my head. They just.
Yeah, but you know what? They may be American sports, but aside from beach volleyball, America does not always dominate volleyball.
No, they don't. But, I mean, basketball was an American sport that was adopted to become an Olympic sport. And America was fine with us creating the sport and having an Olympic sport and dominating it as a sport up until they lost the gold medal to the Russians. And after losing again several years later, we decided we're going to have to put an end to this and send NBA players, starting in 92, send NBA players to play.
On the Dream Team. Yeah, I remember that. Okay, so, but you still haven't given me viable, serious replacements. If you're going to be taking out my sports, you need to come up with something better.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. The European community has also come up with their own sports that I think should not be Olympic sports. Rhythmic gymnastics, I don't think should be an Olympic sport. Synchronized diving should not be an Olympic sport. Though it's beautiful, I don't think it should be an Olympic sport. Male synchronized swimming, I don't think, should be an Olympic sport. This was a parody on Saturday Night Live back when Harry Shearer was on Saturday Night Live, and I thought it was hilarious. And now it's an Olympic sport.
Okay, so, but you know what? I'm waiting for replacements.
Why isn't bowling an Olympic sport?
Didn't you just get finished talking about drunk Americans?
Yes. Yes. And let's face it, there are certain sports, as well as Winter Olympic sports, that were created that they knew black people would never do. And so that's what the Winter Olympics are, is an attempt to keep black people from getting all the medals in the Olympics. So they created the Winter Olympics.
I can't do you today.
Why is dressage an Olympic sport?
Well,
I can understand.
You want to just outlaw the equestrians too?
No. The jumping and the riding and the skill. But can you make your horse dance better than my horse? Are you freaking kidding me?
That's not an American sport.
No, it's not American, but it's an Olympic sport. I don't want it to be an Olympic sport. Horse dancing should not be an Olympic sport unless the horse is dancing by itself.
Okay, that's fine. But what would you put in replace? How would you replace it? With what?
Why do we have to replace it? Just to take them out. Let's make the Olympics down to 3 weeks.
That's never going to happen. That'll leave 7 athletes.
No. Well, let's go back to the original Olympic sports that the Greeks created.
Okay, so track and field.
Track and field.
And
archery,
maybe archery.
Javelin.
Well, that's part of field.
That's track and field. So archery, track and field, wrestling, boxing.
You know what? I don't think the Greeks were boxing.
Yes, the Greeks were boxing. The Greeks had cestus, which were leather-wrapped hands, which are the predecessors to boxing gloves. And the cestus had little metal spikes in them. And a boxing match ended when one person was pummeled to the point that they could not move. It wasn't like 3 2-minute rounds. It was, I'm going to beat on you till you can't move anymore, and then maybe I might stop.
That sounds like gladiator games.
Well, no, gladiator games definitely involve swords and you know.
And death.
And cutting stuff off.
Okay, go ahead. So track and field.
Track and field. Three.
Wrestling.
Wrestling, boxing, swimming. And
swimming in the original Greek Olympics. What were they doing? Swimming up and down the Nile? Are you shitting me?
No, because the Nile's in Egypt. And though you are the queen of the Nile, I believe they did swim in a river. Now, I could be wrong on swimming.
What river? The Thames?
Again, England. Did you take geography in high school?
Mississippi River? Memphis River.
Mississippi River? Did you say the Mississippi River?
the Columbia. I don't know if I buy swimming.
I have to double check, but I do know about the boxing and the wrestling and the track and field, archery. And the games were supposedly created by Heracles, which is the real name for Hercules.
So then it's a myth.
No. Well, if he didn't create them, because he actually is supposedly a documented hero that became so mythical in his feats that they either attributed a lot of things that he didn't do to him, or he really was one person. And then when he died, they said, oh, he's a god. He was so great, he had to be a god. But they believe he did actually exist.
Yeah, he actually the Minotaur and stuff out stable. All right.
Yeah. But if he did not create the games were created in his honor. They know that much.
All right.
So we keep those. We make swimming on the line. We keep swimming, but we keep it on the line. I happen to love gymnastics, male and female gymnastics. Not real big fan of the rhythmic gymnastics. I love diving. Not a fan of the rhythmic synchronized diving. Synchronized diving.
So I went to Wikipedia, and you know Wikipedia is never wrong.
No, never.
Never. And the events appear to not include swimming.
It did not include swimming?
Did not include swimming, and it was mostly racing. It did include boxing and something that's similar to what we call mixed martial arts.
Well, they have Greco-Roman wrestling, which is where we get the term
Greco. They had wrestling. They had chariot racing, long jump, javelin, discus, pentathlon.
Which is track and field.
What?
So
yeah,
that's track.
Mostly track and field. I don't even see archery up here.
Huh. I would have thought archery is a given. But, of course,
you got
off the internet. Internet's never wrong.
You thought swimming was a given, and we see how right you were.
This is true. This is true. This is true.
That is an Olympics I will not watch. I promise you. I will watch every day, all day.
What are your favorite Olympic sports?
Baseball, softball, so you know I'm salty about that. Swimming, because my kids swim. Gymnastics, volleyball, and some track and field events. I don't like all of the track and field events, but I like some of them. I don't need to see boxing. I can watch tennis if nothing else is on. Ping pong, where the woman who won the match today, her name was it Ding Dong? No, it was Ding Ning. Or Ning Ding.
I'm not.
So I might watch that and giggle.
I'm going to do this show by myself.
That was the woman's name. I promise you. Her name was Ding Some. I don't remember if it was Ding Dong or Ning Ding, but Ding was in it. I might watch that to laugh. That's about it.
Asian America, I apologize for my co-host's insensitive racist comments.
That was not racist. That was the woman's name. And it made me laugh. I'm sorry.
Deeply.
I'm sure that somewhere in China they are laughing at John Smith.
Yeah, but they're not laughing at John Holmes.
Well, ring ding, ding-a-ling, ding-dong, I don't care.
Shyamalama ding-dong.
Right. That's M. Night Shyamalama ding-dong.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I mean, I'll watch basketball, but I have to be honest, since they put the Dream Team in 1992, it's kind of soured it for me because, it's very difficult for them to lose, and it just seems kind of like, I know that the other countries are putting in professional players, but it just, I like to see the young people try, the college students and stuff try to do their thing.
The only real problem with that, and I believe the simple solution that they don't want to do, but the only problem with that is you grab 12 to 13 of the best college players across the country and create a team a month out and try to get them to play against grown men who've been playing together for 6, 7, 8 years, and it's no longer just a matter of coaching and raw skill. You know, it's a teamwork thing that NBA players are easier to adopt or adapt to than having these kids who, you know, aren't as developed. I mean, a 19-year-old kid is not as developed as a 29-year-old kid, obviously, male anyway. So it becomes unfair. I think what they should do is create a team of players that will compete internationally. They will play together for more than just, you know, up until the Olympics. They have to commit 2 years of their lives to playing on the international team, and they can compete in the NBA and exhibition games or whatever, so that when the Olympics roll around, they're more prepared to play. Pay these people, just like the international teams pay.
Right, I was getting ready to say, I mean, part of the issue that I see with our Olympic athletes as a whole is we as a country don't financially support them. I think if they didn't have to worry about hustling to get sponsorship and all this jazz, you know, we might be able to institute what you're suggesting.
Well, the United States government doesn't pay our athletes, but yeah, you're right. They hustle, but they make a lot of money internationally for appearances. I mean, that myth of the unpaid athlete is blown away 20 years ago. Carl Lewis was a multimillionaire to be an amateur athlete. He got so much appearance money. All of these people now make gobs of money in endorsements if their sport is very popular. If they're doing a sport that isn't...
Prior to the Olympics or after the Olympics?
Prior, way prior. When they compete in the world championships and international meets and events, the clothing that they wear, the shoes that they wear, you know, you go overseas and you see posters of people, and, you know, McDonald's is quick to endorse people. These people make money. And I mean, there are people who are athletes who don't, as I said, don't participate in quote-unquote popular sports.
Right, because I've seen those Home Depot commercials.
Yeah. But, I mean, those people are like in, they participate in, like you said, ping pong. You know, ping pong or table tennis has become very popular. But, you know, team handball, which is a sport I played back in the 80s.
Yeah, that can go. Now, I like speed skating on the rollerblades. I like that.
Yeah, and I'll stipulate to that, since we have speed skating in the Winter Olympics, I'll stipulate to that one. But overall, they're never going to get rid of handball, because handball, and it's team handball, is as popular in Europe as soccer is, which they consider football in Europe. It's just not a popular sport here in America. But European, it's huge. It's huge.
And what are your favorite events? And I'm still waiting for you to come up with some replacements to all the events that I happen to love that you've cut out the Olympics.
All I cut out was synchronized diving and
beach volleyball, blah, 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 blah.
Well, my favorites are traditional favorites, or traditional older sports. You know, the track and field, boxing, wrestling. I love Olympic wrestling, Greco-Roman freestyle wrestling, which, of course, I did in college. I watch the swimming. I love the male and female gymnastics. I love volleyball. I'm a big fan of women's volleyball. People think, oh, you like watch women? No, I just think it's a more pure game. It's a more skill than power. And when power comes into play in the women's game, it's a more beautiful thing than just seeing guys jump up and slam the ball on each other all day long. I love women's basketball, again, because it's a more pure game. It's not just run up and down the court, slam dunk, run up down the court, slam dunk. I like a lot of the obscure sports, too. I like archery. I can't watch ping pong. I think the way they serve is kind of distracting.
Go ahead, say it. Just say it. I know what you're trying not to say. Say it.
You don't know what I'm trying to say.
I do. Say it. Go ahead. Double dog dare you.
It's not the ping pong that Forrest Gump played, where they stand 5 to 10 feet away from the table, just beep, 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 beep. These guys play the game like they should have on helmets and ride a short yellow bus. They're good. Like, this is not exciting. A good volley is five hits. I want to see some ping pong like I see some tennis where they're going at it for a couple minutes before someone scores a point. What else do I like? I don't like any of the, like I said, I don't like the dressage. I like some of the horse events, the riding, some of the other equestrian events. Cycling. I can watch cycling, especially when they do the velodrome, where they actually speed cycling.
Oh yeah, that cycling I like, where they go around the track.
Yeah,
as opposed to 2,700 miles through the city.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I do like that.
Anything about
the hardcore
city is when they crash into like a national monument or something. It's like, oh, he's really jacked up. Sometimes I can get into some of the rowing, but, when they go for a long distance, like, oh, we're going to row, down the Thames for 30 miles, I can't. I can't go with y'all, America. But I do, like I said, those are the traditional sports, a lot of the traditional sports alike, and I like some of the obscure ones. By obscure, I mean, they're not very popular here in America. But I like to see the sports where the people are really exerting themselves, and at the end of the event, they're exhausted. I don't, except for track and field and diving, gymnastics and diving, there aren't too many other sports that are judged that I like. I feel like you've got to actually earn it in competition with the person or people you're lined up against.
You don't think they're exerted after ping pong?
I'm sure their balls hurt.
Countries. What's the official name for that?
The Parade of Nations.
The Parade of Nations, because of the music. And so every now and again you would see like somebody from one of the black nations break it on down, do the electric slide, and keep it moving. That had me cracking up. But other than that, I was like, what in the hell? Why are these children in bed? And you know which one? It was the little love story. That's the one I clicked. I just fast forwarded through. I said, this is ridiculous.
Now let's talk about the Parade of Nations for a second. How are you going to have a country of 1.6 million and three athletes total representing your country in Olympics? And who is the fourth person that couldn't make the team? You know how bad you must feel if you came in fourth and they only taken three in the entire country to be in the Olympic team?
Right.
They got to check the suicide rate of people.
Wait, but the three, what do they call them, the independent, the three independent? Homegirl was breaking it down, little blonde chick.
I'm sorry, I couldn't even keep my head up long enough to watch. I was already nodded out from the rest of the ceremony. They lost me when they started with what was that, Hobbitville, and started having chimneys come out of the ground as the landscapers rolled up the lawns. I'm like, what?
What the hell? No, when the Queen's ass jumped out of the plane, that's when I said, oh, here we go.
I missed that. I got to see it in replays, thank God, but I had missed that. I was like, oh, man, the only thing that was actually fun, I missed it. Because what if her chute hadn't opened? I'm just saying. I know it was a double.
See?
Suppose her chute hadn't opened.
There would have been a national tragedy.
Oh.
All right, so you know what? Enough about the Olympics, because
it would have elevated the whole coverage.
Kill all my events, and I'm not happy. So, but speaking of swimming, should we touch upon the sex scandal?
They were having sex in the pool.
Jesus, take the wheel. No. No, the sexual misconduct between the coaches and the underage swimmers that the United States Swimming Federation, I forget what it's called, the USA Swimming whatever, is trying to keep on the down low, and this has been going on for years, and it seems like to me it's on par, if not worse, than the Penn State sex scandal, and it's similar to the Catholic Church sex scandal, where they're just trying to keep a lid on it.
Does the sex scandal involve boys or girls?
Both.
Then it will not elevate to the level of Penn State because it's not little boys. And sadly to say, in this country...
But it is little boys. It's underage boys and girls. It's 12, it's 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old boys and girls. And it's the allegations are against male coaches. I haven't seen anything where it's female coaches having sex with girls and boys. It's the male coaches having sex with girls and boys.
I still believe that because women are involved, they'll be slow. Little girls, they'll be slow to elevate it to the national media.
But it's little boys, too. I mean, it's children, and they're covering it up.
It is children. I think it's sad, but it is what it is. Women in this country are still not valued on the level of men. So
okay,
sad.
So America, here's what happened. A young girl named Sarah Burt killed herself. She got out of a car and threw herself in traffic. Got hit by a bus. She meant business. And the reason for her suicide was she was depressed because she had been sexually molested by her swimming coach for years. And, you know, after that happened, some people started to investigate it and they got, you know, shut down. And an enterprising reporter for the WBAL decided to do an exhaustive expose on it. And come to find out that
WBAL being the Baltimore TV station.
Okay.
I'm just saying, just to throw them a shout out.
Okay, WBAL, shout out. So anyway, they do this investigation, and they find out that the United States, the USA Swimming National Governing Board, and the United States Olympic Committee have been covering this up for years. She was not the first victim. There was a man arrested, and they indicted him with 200 counts of sexual molestation in California. And he's not alone. And, you know, they have these private swim clubs and whatnot, and the coaches will go in there and molest kids, and the swim club and the governing body will cover it up. And these fools can leave the state and go to another state, which has happened on several occasions, and start becoming a swimming coach at another private club. And so these people are serial molesters. You know, they just go from state to state to state. When they get caught, they just go to another one. And, you know, the USOC, United States Olympic Committee, just keeps it covered up, as well as the NGB, which is the National Governing Board for the United States American Swimming. Any attempt to try and make children safer has been poo-pooed because while, you know, my daughters are swimmers, and I haven't seen this locally, but at some places you can do deck changing where just right on the deck with, you know, behind a towel, you can switch suits. And so, you know, the potential to have some type of inappropriate contact is very, very visible. I mean, you know, these are kids, 13, 14, already in puberty, changing out on the deck. They don't even want to stop that. They don't want to stop co-ed changing.
Mm.
I mean, they, you know, their main focus has been trying to keep coaches from being negatively impacted by false accusations, because I guess the false accusations run rampant, whatever. So, and this is my sport. You know, I'm a swimmer. I wasn't molested. But this is just ridiculous, and I don't understand the pushback. I don't understand why, you know, I know what your thoughts are on why it's not covered. But this is rampant sexual abuse of children. And these people are allowed to go from state to state to state, from club to club to club, to the United States swim team. Yeah, a couple of these coaches made it to the Olympics and coached in the Olympics. So far, not this Olympics, but in 2008-2004, what's really going on here? This is ridiculous.
So how do we elevate this to the national consciousness other than mentioning it on our little show? Because I'm here to tell you, there is so much reporting of stories that aren't stories today, that it bothers me to no end to hear of this situation and to realize that the Jerry Sandusky Penn State situation went on for as long as it did. And real stories.
And this is going on for just as long. Look,
yeah,
it's not even here alone. They had a huge scandal in 1998 in Ireland, where an Irish coach murdered his wife and son so they would not find out that he had fathered a child with an underage swimmer. That's how crazy this is.
And you say black people will go out of their way to cover up something.
I didn't say that. You said that mess.
I'm just saying.
That's just you. I don't know how to elevate it. I mean, you know, you could go to... Why don't you just go to one of your swimming meets and streak? That would get national attention, and then we can bring light to it.
That would bring national attention. and the room would get dark. I'm just saying.
I can't with you today.
But it is. I agree with you. It's a national tragedy, and this is underreported yet. As we talked about earlier today, reporter Campbell Brown broke this story in the Wall Street Journal the other day about how the teachers' unions for city schools, specifically New York City schools, are protecting child predators, teachers who are child predators. It was a Wall Street Journal article, and for those who are inclined, you can go to WSJ.com and find the story. Just do a search for Campbell Brown. And the accusation in her article is that the UFT, which is United Teachers Federation, picks the people to oversee the cases for teachers who are accused of inappropriate sexual conduct with students. And her story goes on, her reporting goes on to say 97 teachers have not been dismissed because their cases were adjudicated by these union-appointed overseers who allowed the teachers to keep their jobs. It is, to me, the worst case of biased journalism I've ever seen. She does not talk.
Did she talk to victims? Did she talk to the victims' parents? Did she talk to any lawyers? Did she talk to any independent people? I mean,
she talks to no one independent. She talks to no one in the UFT. She talks to none of the teachers. She doesn't even break down the cases as to the severity of the accusations. She was on the Morning Joe show Monday morning, where she basically brings this to light but doesn't support her accusations with any specific facts.
So
she doesn't say teacher A
stories.
I'm sorry?
I said she just has anecdotal stories. She does not have any direct information from any victim.
Right. And she doesn't say what the degree of supposed molestation or inappropriate behavior. She mentions, oh, they're contacting students on Facebook and they're contacting students through Twitter and text messaging. And then she does say that in the cases where actual sexual intercourse takes place, the police get involved. Now, I'm not here to defend teachers who do things inappropriately. Lord knows I had my share of teachers who could not stand me.
One to throw a desk at your head and one to have sex with you are two completely different
things. Right, and I did suggest some sexual act to a couple of my teachers in a way that would suggest where I wanted them to place their lips on one of my orifices. But be that as it may, to create a story where, in my opinion, there is no story. You're talking about 97 cases out of however many amount of teachers there are in the New York City school system. As in the, you know, to add how many other students there are in the New York City school system, and you take 97 cases and create, or try to create, a firestorm controversy that elevates itself to the national scene?
Well, I haven't heard it anywhere else, so maybe, you know, Morning Joe is as far as it's going to go.
Well, it made it to the Wall Street Journal. It means that it got read, or potentially got read, by all of their subscribers. Okay, so I guarantee you there'll be some sort of fallout down the line. But when you have a story that's a non-story, then you bring up a story that is a story, it's not being covered.
What is her motivation? Is she trying to give teachers' unions a black eye? Is that what she's trying to do?
I think she's just not that good of a reporter, and she got her kidneys twisted up about something that someone told her, and she did a smear campaign.
Yeah, didn't she get fired from CNN?
I don't remember where. I know she was a press secretary, I believe, for Herbert Walker.
I don't remember being a press secretary. I remember her being, like, on CNN or something.
But I just think it was ridiculous. She didn't present both sides of the story, as we said. I will say on the Morning Joe show, one of the panelists asked her, where did Randy Gardner, who is the president of the AFT, and the AFT, which is the governing union for UFT, where did they stand on this? And it caught her completely off guard. She couldn't answer it. She brushed past it because she hadn't dealt with them at all. She hadn't talked to anybody in the AFT and probably had not spoken to anyone in the UFT.
Uh-huh. So there you go.
You know, and the unions, in my opinion, the legitimate AFT and even the NEA, which is the largest teachers union, National Educators Association, whatever the NEA stands for. I probably need to go back to school to find that out. But they're not in the business of defending and protecting teachers who are sexual predators.
Not out here in Washington, they sure aren't. Mary Kay Letourneau, anybody?
Right.
And she's not the only one. We've had three or four since Mary Kay.
You know.
And can I just say, I don't even understand that whole thing. Somebody, one of you men will have to explain this to me. Because my sister-in-law is the same age as what's his name? Billy Lufau. They went to school together. He was at a birthday party with her. I saw this little boy throw a hissy fit. And a year later, he's banging Mary Kay. I don't understand it. I don't even understand what a 13-year-old little boy can do for me as a grown woman. Somebody explain this to me. I don't even think your testicles are dropped by then. Have they? Am I wrong?
Depends on who you are. And, you know, puberty hits us all the time.
I mean, I'm trying to be delicate, but you know what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying, but the question that's not being asked is what was her husband not laying down that a 14-year-old boy did?
Right, but you know what? Here's the thing, though. If her husband's not laying it down, I think I could find somebody older than 14, don't you?
I would think. But it goes to her mental stability, and it goes to, I mean, and she ended up marrying the kid later, right? They had two kids together?
Oh, yeah, they're still married as far as I know, and they have, like, I think they have two, maybe three kids. I know that she got pregnant again. I mean, even if it wasn't just about sex, there's no emotional attachment because I was her age. I might have been a little bit younger when this was going on, and there's nothing emotionally, sexually, spiritually that a 14-year-old could provide for me when I'm a grown woman. I never understood that.
That's true. But I do also believe that Mary Kay will not allow her husband to take night classes. I hear...
You're stupid. At 14, could you have provided all that needed to be provided for a 30-year-old woman?
No, but don't think I didn't think about it. When I was 14, there were a few ladies.
Okay, I get that.
Here's how you understand as a man that you're old. I remember being 14, 13, 12-year-old little boy looking at my dad's Playboy magazines, and just in the interest of full disclosure, my dad is a cartoonist, and those who follow the nightlife or know his work, he used to draw for Playboy. So he had Playboy he drew cartoons for Playboy, and he'd have Playboy magazines around the house, and I would look at them so I could see his cartoons.
Right, you were looking at it for the articles.
Right, no, I didn't read. I was looking at it to see his cartoon. and in looking for his cartoons, I would come across
other cartoons. And you just have to plot or two while you're looking for his cartoons. Got it.
Right. And the big full-page color cartoons were always right behind the centerfold. And I remember as a little kid, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, looking at these women, looking at their bios, and their bio said, yes, born in 1943. And I would go, God, if I was just born in 1943, now I was born in 62. If I was born in 1943, man, I would talk to her. And, oh, my goodness. And then as I got to be 25, 26, 27, I was seeing women and Playboy whose birth dates were 1970, 1971. And then at 40-some years old, I noticed the Playboy models were born in 81 and 2 and 3 and 5 and 90.
I was born in 87. Mine will be out next month. But that still doesn't answer my question. I mean, I know what you as a 14-year-old boy believes that you can do for a 30-year-old woman. But in reality, what can you do for a 30-year-old woman?
In reality, it would be up to the woman. Just as there are male predators out there, there are female predators out there, and you've expressed it quite.
So, okay, like I know one guy, when I was in high school, I was in 10th grade, and he was a basketball player, and he looked like a dude. His name was JR, and Bernard looked kind of old, too. So I imagine, I mean, you know, like full facial hair. So I imagine that somebody would look at them, and they were, you know, they were like, oh, God, I don't even know. I think Bernard was about 6'2". JR might have been about 6'2" as well, at like 14. So, and with the facial hair. So you might look at them and think that they're much older than they are. And they probably, because they had all the facial hair, I would assume that puberty had, you know, already taken place and everything that was going to drop and grow had already done all that. So from a purely sexual point of view, I could see how those two particular 14-year-old boys might be able to you know, do something for a 30-year-old woman. But Billy, he looked like a 12-year-old, you know? I don't think puberty had hit him yet.
Well, the gene or the messed up chromosome in men who like little boys may also be invading women who like little boys. It may not be about having a man. It may be about having a little boy. And there are women that I know and have known throughout my life who look for someone they can mother in their relationship.
As a mama, that's not the kind of mothering I'm doing.
Nope. There are women who look for men that they can take care of, and they can baby, and that will be their. They have that thing. They don't want a partner. They don't want to follow. They want to lead, and their sexual partner, their marriage partner, their relationship partner has to be someone that they can mother. Now, I don't know. I've never met anyone to the extreme that they're actually going after children, people who are young enough to be their children. But I've seen it. And again, you know, there are men who go after little boys. So there's something.
I mean, you know, I think Mary Kay is a special case. You know, I mean, I would totally understand your argument if she wasn't still married to him, where he is full grown now and looks every bit of 25 or whatever he is now.
But now look at her. So now she's, what, 45? If he's 25, she's 45?
I don't remember how many years older she was than him. I believe, if memory serves me, he was like 13 and 14, and she was 36, 30 or 36. I think she's more than 20 years older than him. Okay, that math didn't work.
Yeah, but we know your math skills.
But you know what? I'm not here for my math. I'm here for my pretty. At any rate, I think that
okay, Mary Kay Letourneau was born in 1962, so she's 50 now.
Okay.
Okay, she's a few months
older.
Oh,
what does that make me? 25.
31.
I'm not 31.
I'm sorry, 27 and a half.
Shut up. So how old is Billy? Well, you know what? If he's the same age as my sister-in-law, she was born in 84. So that's 22 years? There you go. Tacky.
I can't even find his age right now. But yeah, but so if she's, if she, even if she is, well, is he born in 99?
There's no way he was born in 99.
No, that doesn't make
sense. That would make him 13 now.
Yeah.
That math I know.
Yeah.
Okay, so your math foo isn't working either. Ha ha.
He married her when
She got out of prison, right?
Yeah, he was 21.
So he was 21 in 99?
Began a relationship when he was 12, and she was 35. Okay, so she's 23 years older than him.
Like I said, about 22 years older.
Okay, so now she's 50 and he's 27.
That's the same age difference between me and you. Give a year or two. Wow.
Give a year or two.
Yeah,
but you're a girl, you're a woman, a young lady.
All woman.
We are not gonna flip the script. But at her age, she probably is not looking for a man her age or younger. She might be totally happy with him.
At 50, maybe, but not at 32.
No, I'm not at 32. I'm not justifying that. What I'm saying is, you know, to your comment about, you know, their, you know, the age difference now, he's a grown man. He's still a baby to her. He's still a young man to her. And you know, in 20 years when she's 70, she's really going to be on his little young butt. So, and we know that there are some cougars out there. She's just a cougar. She's a cougar to the extreme, but she's a cougar.
And I don't even understand why we're called cougars. What's up with that?
It was a term that I didn't even understand until it was 2 years. I didn't even know what it was. It was 2 years in the American lexicon. I didn't know what a cougar was. I knew what a MILF was, but I didn't know what a cougar was.
You're so retarded.
But I don't know why they call you cougars. They should call y'all what you are.
On me, MILF, just in case you was wondering. You know,
you're not?
I'm popping my collar on that one.
You're not?
I beg your pardon?
Did you're not a MILF?
I am a MILF.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are very MILFy. You're very MILFable.
I'm MILFable?
MILFable. You're MILFalistic. MILFalicious.
MILFalicious, I like that one. That's my new name, MILFalicious.
You're chocolate MILFalicious.
Oh my God. This conversation veered off the tracks. Okay,
and they all
so
do.
I'm over with my Mary Kayla Turnell rant and my Billy Falafel rant.
Billy Falafel.
Billy Falafel. I'm done with that.
Milli Vanilli. We have way too much fun on this show.
So,
okay.
Oh, go ahead.
So we've talked about Mittens Romney and his
tomfoolery.
Yes, his continued embarrassment of the entire presidential campaign internationally, and yet he still, statistically, according to the polls,
4%
with Obama. Statistically,
margin of error.
Yeah, within the margin of error, he still
can't even handle that.
Which again, America, I just cannot believe. I believe at the end of the day, the independents are going to say, We may not love this black man, but we sure enough can't handle this idiot. We did 8 years of idiocy before. We cannot do 8 years of lying and flip-flopping.
If his performance overseas this past week and a half is not a hit and a half for their behind, they deserve him, honestly. And I'm moving to Peru.
If you're moving to Peru, I'm moving to Brazil. And
I'm
you know
to Portugal,
I'm going
to, actually.
I'm going to Brazil to be ready for 2016.
I'm moving to Portugal. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is just, I mean, I don't understand the stuff that comes out of his mouth. No, I understand the stuff that comes out of his mouth. I don't understand how the stuff that comes out of his mouth comes out of his mouth.
He's Teflon. This is what's so incredibly crazy.
Oh, well, he's not Teflon in the British press.
No, he's not Teflon in the British press. He's not Teflon in American press. But no one, and maybe, again, because I am not as brilliant as Barack Obama and Barack Obama's people, and maybe they have a timeline scheduled for when they do what they're going to do. But I cannot understand why it is not more of a story that this man has the backbone of a jellyfish.
But you know what? Remember we talked about this. I mean, they have been hitting him hard on his overseas accounts and, you know, his Bain Capital stuff. That can't be their hold card this early. They broke with this stuff at the end of June, beginning of July. They have to be holding back something.
Well, I know they have so much in the tank right now that they can use. I just think this should be a central theme, even more so than Bain Capital, even more so than his taxes, even more so than his overseas accounts. The main point should be, with Mitt, you never know what he's going to do. Mitt can't commit.
Well, you absolutely know what he's going to do. You know he's going to lie. If we don't know nothing else about this man, we know he's going to lie. He lied
to the
precisely
with exactly what I said, but I stand by what I said, whatever it was. And with regards to, I'll go back and take a look at what was said there.
That's your theme song. But, I mean, seriously, we know he's going to lie. He lied to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts when he was running for governor, and he's lied to the American people about Bain. And he's not going to show his tax returns. What's he lying about there?
I just don't understand how you can stand in front of the state that was founded on the religion of your upbringing and say that you do not agree with a woman's right to choose to do what she wants with her own body when you're running for governor of a state where you say, I'm for a woman's right to choose safe and affordable medical procedures.
We don't even have to go there. All we have to do is say Romney Care. I mean, he's ridiculous. This man.
No, I'm not even talking about Romney Care. I'm talking about from a religious standpoint. He stood in front of his religious fellows and said, by my religion, I will not support a woman's right to choose.
After he had already supported it when he was running for governor of Massachusetts.
Governor of a state where he said he would support a woman's right to choose.
He's a liar.
Not been more heavily investigated or focused in the media. This man flipped. I mean, remember what they did to John Kerry on flip-flop?
Kerry, I know. Wait, but how about when I was talking about Bain Capital versus his gubernatorial run? I haven't heard anybody talk about that. I mean, that is clear-cut evidence that he lied when he was running for governor, period, point blank. His own people are saying he was never around. They could not catch him. He would take days to answer email because he was so involved in the Olympics, they couldn't get him to do anything about the day-to-day Bain Capital stuff. But yet, when he's running for governor, he's like, oh, I'm here all the time. I do business here all the time. And, yeah, I know we can't go back and unring that bell. We can't make him ungovernor. But we can certainly, I mean, that could be a talking point on every commercial, when right with him singing off-key about all his offshore accounts and all his outsourcing. That should be the next commercial. Right along with the one you're talking about with the woman's right to choose. And can I please say, stay out of my uterus? That's all. Go ahead.
I hear your uterus is very comfortable.
I meant Romney, not you, idiot.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wait, I mean you too. I don't want you in my uterus either, but you know what I mean.
America just heard it. You invited me into your uterus.
Did not.
Honey, it wasn't rape. She invited me in. Here it is.
You
right
know
here.
What I meant. I told you I took a Benadryl. You know what I mean, Yale Theodore.
Yale Beverly has been invited into Kamal's uterus. Heard it here first, America.
I quit.
I want my own room.
Jesus, take the wheel. I quit.
With a view.
You know what I meant. I meant politicians and stuff. And you. Yeah, my uterus.
Any ordinary person off the street can be in your uterus as long as they're not a politician or me.
As long as they bring snacks and chocolate.
You know what they say. A uterus is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
And I don't want neither you nor Mitt Romney to find out.
Well, Mitt wouldn't want to be in your uterus because your uterus has not been baptized as a Mormon.
Right. Okay, but we're off track. You know what I'm trying to say. I don't want any politician regulating what I do to and with my body. That's just the bottom line.
And maybe this is the whole card, but you know how this works, Kamal. You by now you have to understand, and America has to understand, this is how this works. We bring it up tonight, and within a matter of days.
Yeah. Mitt Romney will be in my uterus.
Done. I'm done. I'm done. I don't want to play with you anymore.
Payback. Speaking of our ability.
He'll be there before I will.
Oh, yeah, he will. Speaking of our ability to predict, have you noticed that there have been crickets regarding the shooting? Crickets.
Well, I mean, which shooting are you talking about?
Batman.
Okay, so he was indicted on, 140 counts? The shooter was indicted.
Well, there may not have been crickets from the courts, but, I mean, in terms of using this as an opportunity to discuss, you know, if not gun control, bullet control.
Well, right, we're not going to discuss.
Wait a minute. Oh, gosh, that reminds me so much. Did you see Scalia talking to Chris Wallace about the Second Amendment?
I saw the headline. I have yet to read the article.
So basically, to bullet point it, pun intended, Scalia said that the Second Amendment it covers weapons that you can carry. He's like, well, you know, you can't carry a cannon. You can carry a grenade launcher. So if, you know, you think the airplane going over your house is a little too loud and you happen to have a rocket grenade launcher in your back pocket, that's covered under the Second Amendment. Thanks for that, Scalia. We will never, ever get any type of gun control in this country as long as that idiot is on the bench.
Well, I can't dispute that with you. I can't, because you're absolutely right. There will be no gun control as long as the court is controlled by the right.
But I mean, how about him opening up that can of worms in the first place?
Well,
you know, what, you know, well, you can't carry a cannon. Why, you know, I mean, there are plenty of weapons, rocket grenade launchers, that are held handheld, sorry. Why even open up that can of worms?
Well, I don't disagree with you. I really do not disagree with you. But I think, you know, again, as we brought up 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, the Obama administration has been not only silent on gun control, they've been absent on gun control.
But what have I been saying since 2009? That his second term, he's just going to go balls to the wall. Long as he can get control of the Senate and the House, I think he's going to push through a lot of stuff. Because, you know, he plays chess. He doesn't play checkers.
Well, this is true. But I don't think gun control is even on the radar. And I know the NRA has been pushing that it is. This is why I don't think it is. Because they've made him the boogeyman. And he, outside of saying that people in the hills cling to their Bibles and guns, he has not made any statements on gun control from the campaign of 2008 through his administration. He's been silent on it.
Well,
so
I don't think he's going to make any comments about it right now because that would be politicizing the event that happened.
Well, that's true, but I don't think gun control is even in Barry's.
Let me call my boyfriend Barry. That's Barack to you.
His tight, close buddies. We get to call him Barry because we've been hanging for a while.
All right. Yeah, that's why I call her Shell. Keep going.
Right, but I just think, you know, in the continued demonization of our president by
the otherization of him.
They just do not want him to be anything but what he is. And he may not be strong or may be strong for gun control or lack thereof. We don't know because he's never made any policy statement on it. Whereas George W. Bush did, whereas Bill Clinton did, whereas George Herbert Walker Bush did, Barack Obama has been silent on it. It's not been a platform issue for him at all. And it's a wedge issue, again, and I think he stays away from most wedge issues, which is kind of hard to say. And I'm not mad at him on it because, as I said, I'm a gun owner, but I don't see this president going after everyone's guns. As a matter of fact, he has been, again, as I said before, he's been his administration.
But I don't want him to go after everybody's guns. I want him to go after certain people's guns or certain guns. You know my position on this. You have every right to defend your house. You have every right to hunt deer. But I don't think anybody needs 6,000 bullets to do either of those. I don't think anybody needs 20 bullets to do either of those
at one time. The apocalypse.
Well, yeah, you know what? When we have the zombie apocalypse, talk to me then. But until such time, I don't think that it's needed. I really, really don't. And like I said last week and the week before, and I know what you're going to say, if you can't do it in six, what are you trying to do? If you can't do it in 13, what are you trying to do it in six for? Whatever you need to shoot, if you can't use six bullets to do it and you need 13 bullets to do it, then I think you need to go back to gun shooting school.
Well, a lot of them don't go to gun shooting school, even though they claim that, you know, they're very gun safety conscious. Oh, and just so I can harp on this real quick before we go, again, since you brought it up, the show I was talking about, Combat Pawn, they had a client, a customer that came in who wanted to buy his wife a handgun that he wanted engraved with her name and her father's name because recently her father had been killed, as he stated, in a gun-related accident. In this gun-related accident, he saved other people, but it caused him to die.
You need to go get your cousins.
Unfortunately, these were not related. These people were not related to me in any way, shape, or form. But this is the mentality. So he wants to buy his wife a gun. Engraved.
Every single time she picks up this gun, she can be reminded of the violent death of her father.
Yes, and she appreciated it. She loved it.
Okay, see, I was getting ready to say she needed to get divorce papers, but obviously they're both retarded.
Yeah.
They deserve
now,
each other.
Again, I'm a gun owner. I understand buying her gun for self-defense.
Oh,
and
honey, I'm sorry that your father got run over by the bus.
You don't buy her a
bus.
No, but you buy her a bus pass.
Right, here's a bus pass and a little bus toy, just so you can always remember it.
Right.
Your people are so stupid.
But, I mean, I understand his point for her having a gun because he's a military, he's a member of the military. He goes on deployments, and he'll be gone for 6 months, and, okay, you want to go there. But to have her father's...
Look, if my husband for some reason lost his damn mind and joined the service at the age of 38 and had to go on Westpac or whatever, I don't need a gun. I got my cast iron frying pans. I got my baseball bat. I got my dogs. Come on. Triple dog dare you. Come mess with me. I'm not going down by myself, and I don't need bullets.
But suppose the zombies attack and he gets deployed to zombie land.
That's what you are for.
I'm not going to help you because if you won't let me in your uterus, I'll be damn sure if you ain't going to let me in your house.
Fine. You get no chicken in a can. And no, you are uninvited into my uterus. I revoke thy invitation.
America don't believe you. America don't believe you. They know better.
Yeah, they know better, which is why they know I'm very serious. You cannot come in my uterus. Oh, shit. That's not what I meant.
Should I use 13?
That's not what I meant.
I think we need to end it here. The FCC regulations.
That's not what I meant.
Video.
Oh my God.
So, America, please join us every time.
Show.
Well, enjoy the show at 347. Put your app in it.
I quit.
Invitation.
No. I quit.
Have a circle of sanity. You too can come in all uterus. It's going to be crowded in there. Going to panic. Family of five or six.
I'm going to punch you in your eye.
Have a good night, America.
Oh, my God. That is-